for this time and moment. Thank you for the blessing of being here all together today. Thank you for the life. Thank you for everything that you are allowing us to receive in our life. Thank you for the protection, provisions, healing. Thank you for the strength, the faith, convictions that you are giving to us. Thank you for the word, for the Holy Spirit, for Jesus Christ. Thank you for everything, everything that you're doing in our life. We praise you. We worship you. In this moment, we ask you, Lord, to be you speaking to the church and not me. I don't want to speak to the church. I don't want to speak under my own circumstances or my own desires. I want you to speak to the church according to your will, according to what we need as a church, as a person, as individuals. I declare in the name of Jesus Christ that you are the one speaking to the church and not me. Thank you for that opportunity or for this moment. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. So we will continue talking about becoming a disciple. We are still talking about that series because inside of that series is a lot of information, a lot of good stuff that I believe God wants us to continue developing in our life and growing to be a disciple. As we learned in the first sermon, he wants us to understand what is the difference between being a disciple and being a multitude or a crowd, because the crowd, it was just going to receive something, something that they need. But there was not an attachment or relationship with Jesus Christ. You can see the difference between the disciples, that they were really close to him, but the crowd, it was just over there to maybe see miracles, maybe because they're listening that there was the Messiah, he was here, maybe a prophet. So, let me see if that's true. Let me just, you know, wondering what's going on. But not really the relationship with Jesus Christ. Also, last weekend, we were talking about the mind, how we can change the mind that we have to have the mind of Christ so we can be more a disciples. But today, God bring me a specific topic and put it on my heart during the whole week, and bless God for that, so we can continue receiving that word and then practicing that word, putting in labor that word, not just listening it and just, okay, it's there, but I'm not doing anything with that word. The purpose of that word is to become alive and develop something in our life. So today is really interesting because it's kind of related to something between me and my wife. Because I know me and my wife, we have an agreement always, which is I don't try to run her life, but I don't try to run mine either. It's right or not? I'm just joking. I'm just joking, because today I just want to talk about agreement. An agreement that we need to have with God, with Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in order to have that discipleship mindset or life in our life. Because we need to be in agreement with him. Sometimes, anyway, we are here and Christians, we believe in Jesus Christ, sometimes we don't have that agreement with him. Sometimes we don't agree in things. It's like, for example, I don't know if you have that experience at work, that you have agreements at work with maybe a vendors or suppliers. You establish agreements, terms, and everything over there. That I'm not a lawyer, but some lawyers know better, right? Information about agreements and terminologies and everything that we need to be in compliance. So that way we don't break that agreement. So the same concept is going to be with God and Jesus Christ. We have an agreement with him. He established a principle in the Bible that we need to continue growing and developing. And those agreements is not to break, is to follow, is to practice. It's not just to listen to the agreement. It's there in paper, the Bible, but we're not doing anything. We're not really agreeing with this stuff. And sometimes we don't agree with some words that we listen or we are reading in the Bible. And we say, I don't know, I don't agree with that. It's there. And if you believe in one scripture that it says, you will bless, you are my son and my child. And for that one, sometimes we say, oh, yes, I received that one. I love that one because it's a blessing for me. But sometimes when it says, if you're not following my commands, I don't agree with that one. Because it's bringing pain in my life. But to be in agreement with his word, with his life, so that way we can be a disciple. Using the scripture of Matthew 28 as a reference for this series, you guys know, then, Matthew 28, 16, then, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Again, this is the third time, third sermon of this series. Pay attention to that word, doubted. I'm going to touch a little bit of that one today. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to very end of the age." So this scripture is just as a reference of what's an agreement is being established in our life with him if we really truly believe in that scripture. Once again, we're not just coming over here every Sunday just to listen a word and that's it. We're Christian now. And now they just continue living our life the way they were living it over here on the earth. We're supposed to attach that word in our hearts, in our mind, and walk by that word. Walking with that word and make it that happen. Something, it will be orchestrated by God so that way we can use that word and apply it in our life so that way we can grow. When he say over here, go and make disciples, it's kind of an agreement that he's making with us. He's saying, go and make disciples. There's some things established in that document, the Bible. And if we really truly believe in that, we should be start walking in this and applying it out there and go and making disciples. Like I mentioned last Sunday, it's not just go. It's telling you what specific things we need to do. And it is to make disciples. So in order to make disciples, we need to be disciples. Otherwise, you don't know how to be a disciple. How are you going to make another disciple? So that type of mentality is the one that he wants us to have. But we will not have it unless we make an agreement with him. Unless we agree with him, what he's doing in our life, what he's doing, what is his purpose, what is his will, then we can make an agreement with him and walk by that. Otherwise, it's going to be really difficult because then you're going to go by your own understanding. What you understand is correct. But maybe what we understand is correct, maybe it's not according to his purpose and will. And that's the part that we need to be careful and understand and learn more. What is his purpose? What is his will? Oh, go make disciples. How am I going to do that? How am I going to make disciples if I'm not a disciple? Okay, what is agreement? Agreement, it means harmony. It means accordance in opinion or feeling, a position or results of agreeing. It's also using the terminology of negotiation, a typically legally binding agreement between parties as a course of action. Also, I like this one. It says the absence of incompatibility. Thank you. I have my teacher here always helping me. Between two things, that means consistency. So how you can be compatible to what he's willing to do with your life and on the earth through you if you're really not agreeing with him? You are disagreeing with him. We need to be in agreement with him so that way we can go and make disciples. That's establishing a consistency of believing and faith and practicing that with him. Something that I learned about this word, because the New Testament, as you know, it has been written in Greek. The word for this agreement or agree, in Greek, it means symphonio, which it means symphony. Is this symphony like of a group of people playing the instrument? When you are playing an instrument and you are playing with another person, another different instrument, but you are in accordance or you are in chord of what is supposed to play around that, you are in symphony. You can listen and you say, that's really good. That sounds really interesting. But then, I don't know you guys, I have experience in the place at the school when sometimes you hear the little kids playing and you see the beep, boop, beep during the whole symphony. It means at that moment, it was kind of a little bit off of the chords. So that means you're not in consistency with the whole group. You are out of inconsistency over there. So that means you're not aligned. You're not in symphony. That means you're not in agreement with the whole group. So in order to be in symphony with God, I need to understand everything that He's doing, His will, His purpose in my life, in the church, in the community, so that way we can go and make disciples. Amen? Amen. Let's go to the scripture now. Matthew, we're going to start with Matthew 5. Matthew 18. Matthew 18, this is the scripture that God gave me during the week and blessed my heart and helped me to support all the circumstances that we are facing in our daily life. Yes, I'm also facing circumstances like you. I'm a human being. So sometimes at work, you may be not in agreement with your boss. Hallelujah. Right? And it's really uncomfortable because then you are doing a job and then maybe you don't understand the agreement or the situation, or maybe you're really not in agreement with that situation, but then you have to follow what your boss is saying. And that's the same thing that happened with you and me with him. Sometimes we don't understand the scripture. Sometimes we don't understand His will, but why? Why is this happening to my life? If I've been faithful, why is this happening to me? If I've been so passionate to follow God, I worship Him every day. I'm not failing. I'm not committing sin. Why is this happening to me? I'm not in agreement. I don't think so, right? We're human beings and we go through that situation most of the time. But then, with His will and His purpose, we're in symphony with Him. Matthew 18. We're going to start verse 15. If your brother and sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen, even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will you bound in heaven. And whatever you lose on earth will be loose in heaven. Again. Interesting. Again. Why he saying again? Did he say this again before? Or he just trying to explain you what he just said before? Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. Interesting. Because he said, again, let me explain you what I'm trying to say over here. Whatever you bind on here, it will be also over there in heaven. Whatever you lose over here, it will also lose over there. So he's trying to teach us and explain, guys, we need to be on the same page. We need to be in agreement. So Jesus Christ is talking here to the disciples, talking to them and talking to us right now as of today. But if he's talking about this to the disciples, it's because he's also talking about his experience with his Father. That's why in the scripture you know that it says, me and my Father, we are one. Because we are agreeing together according to His will and purpose. I'm here just to make something that He wants me to do. Hallelujah. And He's saying to us, make disciples. He's saying, go and make disciples. Are we agreeing with that? Are we removing the mind of crowd and having the mind of discipleship? So that way we can be in relationship with Him. Nothing will move you Nothing will move you. If you have a strong relationship with God, if you are aligned with God, so that way you can go over there and make disciples and then bring them to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He wants us to lose and bind here on earth what we need to lose and bind, so that way we can be strong in unity. That way we can restore the relationships with agreement. Are you and me, are we all agreeing with His purpose and will? Are you and me agreeing with Him? Otherwise, it's going to make it really difficult for us to walk by Him, by what He wants us to do. When we learn more about these scriptures, the word, when it says that we're going to tie or we're going to bind or lose anything over here, this is something that is bringing the combination of different sounds, the same thing, symphony, bringing that harmony between everyone. If we are all agreeing, that bring that harmony, and we are just going to start walking, believing always in Jesus Christ, walking on the same path. There's a scripture. Let's go to, Amos? Amos. Okay, let's go over there. Thank you. Because Jesus Christ, He was using as a reference these prophet words. Oh, come on. There you go. Press. Thank you, God. Okay, chapter 3, verse 1. This is interesting. Hear this word, people of Israel, the word the Lord has spoken against you. Against the whole family I brought up out of Egypt. You only have I chosen of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your sins. Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? And then he starts doing some interesting questions. Does a lion roar in the thicket when it has no prey? Does it grow in its den when it has caught nothing? Does a bird swoop down to a trap on the ground when no bait is there? Does a trap spring up from the ground if it has not caught anything? When a trumpet sounds, do not the people tremble? When disaster comes to a city, has not the Lord caused it? Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing to His servants the prophets. The lion has roared, who will not fear? The sovereign Lord has spoken, who can but prophesy? So it's interesting the way the prophet is presenting this from God. He's talking from God. So this is God talking through the prophet to the people. It's really interesting the question that he's saying, because the questions is giving something to us right now today and saying there's a reason why the lion is doing this. There's a reason why the bird is having this experience. There's a reason of the bait. There's a reason of this and that. There's a reason why two persons cannot walk if they not agreeing. So if we're not agreeing with God's words, how we can say that we're walking with Him? Are we really applying the scripture? Are we really practicing the God's word in our life? Because if we're not applying that, if we are not practicing that word, then we're not in agreement with Him. Hello? Sorry. I know. It's also touching my heart really, really strong this week about agreement. Agree with Him. Anyway, whatever is happening in your life, in my life, what is your agreement with Him? When we continue learning more about this, you can go to, let's go to Genesis, Genesis 12. Genesis 12. This is the story that you and I already know for years. Genesis 12, Abram. Genesis 12 is talking about two principles over here that I want to share with you guys today. 12:1. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. That's the first one. Pay attention. Go. To where? Just go. And he say, from your country, from your people, and from your father's household, to the land I will show you. But you're not showing me anything because you say, I will show you. Just go. And if we go back to Matthew 28, what it says? Go. But you're not showing me the community. You're not showing me the people that I'm supposed to knock the door. You're not showing me the strategy. What I'm going to do, just go. The first point is conditions. God is giving you conditions. What is the condition? Just go. Just go. When you decide in your heart to make that agreement with Him and say, I don't know, you're not showing me anything, but I go. Because I agree with you. That way I can walk with you. Because two cannot walk if they're not in agreement. So I'm in agreement with you. I will walk. I'm just going to go. And then I know for sure that you will show me the land. Verse 2, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all people on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went. Abram went as the Lord had told him without seeing the land. And Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Wow, 75 years old. What happened between 0 and 75? A lot, I guess, to then have this experience. And sometimes we just want to have the experience right away. I accept Jesus Christ. I want the experience right now. But no, he might be going to show you something later. I don't know when. Every case is different. But if we are in agreement with him, it doesn't matter. He will show you at the time. We just need to be convicted and graceful enough to just say, thank you for saving me. Whatever is over that, give me that when you want. I love you. He just go. Something that Becca mentioned earlier, I was thinking also this week about this scripture. And I'm going to be careful with this, please. You can go study it yourself, but this is my heart. I'm going to say like Paul says, this is me talking. I don't want to say this is God. This is me talking because this is my heart. According to scripture, God told him the conditions. But then after the condition, he gave promises. That's the second point that I want to share with you guys today. The second one and last one, promise. This is me again. I just want to go. If the promise from God comes, good. I will receive it. But if not, I will be happy anyway. Good. He always going to promise you something. He always going to give you something. Because that's God. He's so grateful, merciful, that he will give you something. He will present that promises to you. But if those promises, you're not receiving the promises, and he just say, go. Let's just go. That's me. Because I love him. I love what he already did to my life. He already gave me the biggest promise in my life, which is salvation. Hallelujah. Now, when we go back to Matthew 28 and use that as a reference, what it says over there? Go and make disciples. and then tell you the conditions. Just go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. What is the promise? And I surely. His promise, it is, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Receive the promise. I receive it. Amen. Because he's giving the promise. But if any case, the promise is taking too long, or the promise is not arriving, I will continue worshiping him, serving him, loving him, because that's the agreement that I have with him. What is the agreement that you have with him? We need to continue solidifying that agreement. That agreement will help us to go and make disciples. And I want to share with you guys in Genesis, continuation of the scripture. It says, verse 5, it's not over there, sorry. But 7 is there, so you can put 7. He took his wife, Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan. And they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At the time of Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram. Go. Leave the family. Leave the society. Leave everything that you have. Just go. Conditions. And then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Now God revealed to him the land. But he just established an agreement with him. I will go. That's it. Because I trust in you. I have that confidence, that conviction with you. I just go. Anyway, thank you for the promises. I appreciate that. But I will go. And then when he followed that, wife, nephew, possessions, let's go. He say, let's go. And I'm in agreement with him. We're walking together right now. Now that I'm in the land, this is the land. This is the promise. I will bless anyone that bless you. I will bless you. I will make you a great nation. That's fine. Thank you for that. I just want to love you. I just want a relationship with you. Thank you for the blessings or the benefits over there. Thank you. When we continue learning more about this, in Matthew 5, the scripture is saying something really interesting to be more in agreement. And it is 23. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. Don't present it to God. This is Jesus Christ talking. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift to be, because the gift that you are presenting to God is not in unity with your brother and sister. If you are in unity, in agreement with your brothers and sisters, if you're in unity with your brothers and sisters, in agreement with them, you are in agreement with God. You can present the gift to him. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. Agreement. This is serious. It's not just, I'm not in agreement with nobody and nothing. I need to make sure that I'm in agreement, so that way I can be in agreement with him. It is interesting also that the scripture that Jesus Christ used as a reference, when he, in Matthew, he talked to the disciples. He talked to Peter and the disciples. And he said, hey, I'm going to die. But I'm gonna raise from the dead. I need you to go to Galilee. When that happened. Let's go to the scripture. I'm sorry, I love this. Matthew. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew 26:31. It says, then Jesus told them, this very night you will all fall away on account of me. To the disciples. The people that he was really close to him, in relationship with him, in agreement. You're going to follow me. The disciples. People that he was just experiencing miracles. Seeing everything over there. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Seriously, Peter? Come on. We know now. Truly I tell you, Jesus answered, this very night before the rooster crows, thank you, you will disown me three times. But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples say the same. Really? We know what happened. Now, it's interesting what Jesus Christ say over here. For it is written. There's a prophet that says something. And Jesus Christ grabbed that and presented it to the disciples. Zechariah 13:7. Awake, sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is close to me, declares the Lord Almighty. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. And I will turn my hand against the little ones. In the whole land, declares the Lord, two-thirds will be struck down and perish. Yet one-third will be left in it. This third I will put into the fire. That's the painful part. I will refine them like silver and test them like gold. They will call on my name and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people. Will say, the Lord is our God. Just one third. Why? Remember, they went to Galilee. The resurrected Jesus Christ is there. Again. What kind of mind is that? We are humans, and our humanity and our mind is kind of limited sometimes, and we just want what we want, unfortunately. But man, you are experiencing so many things with Jesus Christ. And now he's telling you, go to Galilee. You're going to see me resurrected. And now, according to scripture, it says that some doubted. How in the world? Some doubted. And then he explained why. Because for them, they were not in agreement with him. They have in the mindset of the crowd or multitude. Some of them have that mindset. They just want the fish and the bread. They don't want the relationship with him to be in agreement with him. So that's why when the shepherd was strike, poof, all the sheep start going in different directions. Because they don't have that agreement with him. Amos, when he was talking about that you need to be in agreement with your other ones so that way you can walk in the same path or the same way. The word in Hebrew for that agreement, it means fix on. It means the action of fixing consistently something, of inserting something that it can be solidified over there and nothing will move it. It's when you put something embedding with another thing. That means agreement. That means that I'm embedding with him with whatever he wants me to do. His will, his purpose. When I understand it, I'm going to walk the same way, the same path with him. Three more. And I'm just going to say DT. You can help me with pronunciation. Deuteronomy? I love you guys. Chapter 9. We're going to read verse 4 through 6. After the Lord your God has driven them out before you, do not say to yourself, the Lord has brought me here to take possession of this land because of my righteousness. Nope. It is on account of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is going to drive them out before you. It is not because of your righteousness or your integrity that you are going in to take possession of their land, but on account of the wickedness of these nations, the Lord your God will driven them out before you to accomplish that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand then that it's not because of your righteousness that the Lord your God is giving you this good land to possess, for you are a stiff-necked people. It's him. It's not you or me. Simple human beings we are. Just trusting and believing in him, agreeing with him. Also Leviticus 26:23. If in spite of these things you do not accept my correction, but continue to be hostile toward me, I myself will be hostile toward you, and will afflict you for your sins even times over. And the last one, but not least, 2 Corinthians 6. Hallelujah. Second Corinthians chapter 6:14. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. Wait a second, but Jesus Christ was with Samaritans and unbelievers. But he was not in agreement with them, maybe. Remember, what is a yoke? It's the piece that is attached to another and walking together to the same path. Agreement. Maybe the unbelievers are not in agreement because they're not walking the same way. You are walking the other one. You can be there. You can minister them. You can go and make disciples. But maybe we're not in agreement yet until they start joining the path of Jesus Christ or God. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Nothing. Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial, which is Satan? What Paul was using as a reference over here. or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? There's not agreement on that. And God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. There, come out from them and be separate. Holy, in other words. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my son and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Number 7, chapter 7, number 1. Therefore, since we have these promises, conditions, and promises to make an agreement. Dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Agreement. We have conditions from God. Let's just have that faith, conviction, go. The promises will come later. That's a benefit. That's a blessing from Him that is not provided by us, not because our righteousness. It's Him. It's His glory. It's His purpose. It's His will. Let's just go. Make that happen. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this blessing and time. Thank you for your scripture. Thank you for your word. Thank you for everyone here. We worship you. We praise you, God. God, if you touch the hearts of someone here today, please, Holy Spirit, bring them to the altar so we can pray for them and he can present to you with his body, his life, as a worship to you, as a gift to you, as an offering to you, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Please, God, continue helping us to make an agreement with you, to understand your will and purpose, so that way we can go and make disciples. We love you, we worship you, and we praise you. In the name of Jesus Christ.